Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
86 Productions.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am your host, Andrew Hughes, and I'm joined by my co-host, Aaron Hughes. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Jeff and Matt are furious over the wrestling, in quotations, dirt sheets. Why are they so ticked about this, Aaron?
Hardy's, I mean, they've been posting messages to their Twitter basically saying, you know, you guys have no idea what you're talking about, and using four-letter expletives to, you know, basically say anything that, if anybody says anything bad about them, they are basically saying F you.
Okay, but most of these people actually subscribe to their, like, show. Don't you think they want to be nice to them?
I mean, I understand. I do. You know, people were talking about, you know, Hardy's drunk antics. For example, when he smashed Ken Anderson in the back of the head with a chair, they were saying that he was, you know, wasted, you know, whether that's drunk, high, or what have you. That when he hit him in the back of the head, he actually did that while he was impaired. And the thing is, you know, Anderson's the back of his head got split open. Mm-hmm. That's what can happen, you know. And Anderson went, you know, he took a few weeks off because of it. So I don't know.
I'm wondering what, you know, what is real, what's not. That's the thing, because Jeff was on something. He can quote unquote say he was exhausted or whatever. I don't believe it. He had something had been going on, and that's fine. I mean, it would be nice if he stopped doing it. Because he's putting other people's lives in, you know, he's basically can kill someone. And if he was to, hypothetically, let's say he really injured someone where they couldn't wrestle anymore, what is he going to say then? Oh, I was just quote unquote exhausted. Okay, then take a freaking drug test. I mean, come on. It's ridiculous.
Well, on top of that, too, I mean, it's whatever he wants to do outside of the ring. Like, you know, go ahead. Do whatever makes you happy. But at the end of the day, like, if anyone listening to this or any of us, if we went into work and we performed our job wasted or high, you know, we'd get in serious trouble. So
I wouldn't. Okay, maybe I would. Yeah. Family functions would be really bad. So anyway, so if Caval got hurt, he had an MRI on his ankle. The good news is he's okay. He just needs some TLC. Not some table, ladders, and chairs, though. He needs some tender love and care right now, which is nice. So he's going to be okay. I'm really excited about that because I like Evol. I loved Low-Key, the Low-Key character. I like seeing him. I just wish that they were utilizing him and not saying, yeah, you just won NXT, so we're going to put you over there. We're going to have you job a couple guys.
Yeah, you know, I hope that, you know, he does come back, you know, soon. I hope that he's not out for very long because, you know, obviously, I mean, your ankle, you know, it's something, I mean, you can't even do really promos. I mean, you know, just kind of hobbling around. So hopefully he'll be back soon. But, you know, one of the major things that happened this week, it happened on Tuesday. It was pretty big news, is that WWE fired a main eventer. Do you know who it is, Andy?
Okay, is it Tony Atlas?
No, they fired Juan Cena. So it's so
he's
funny.
He's not a main
before
eventer.
Before we recorded the show, Andy kept asking me, dude, who's the main eventer that they fired? Like, I have to know. I did not read it anywhere about them firing a main eventer. But it said that they terminated Juan Cena's contract. So, unfortunately, he's no longer going to be with the company.
Anyways, let's go on to Raw. Do we need wrestling award show? Yes, we do. But we need a full wrestling award. Big time. Big time. And we're talking WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate USA, everything. You know, actually, Aaron, let's do one. Let's actually do an award show. Let's pick.
You want to do an award show?
Let's do one because the Slammies are stupid. The Slammies are horrible. We'll put up, you know, I'll tell you what, there's other places that do that, you know, F4W and Wrestling Observer, they put out theirs. Let's put out our own because I don't like these.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I think that's a great idea. We didn't even talk about this beforehand. Let's put out our own award show.
I actually think that's a great idea, because I mean, the thing is, like, we can do, we don't have to have those stupid, you know, little like those categories that they had. I mean, because they had really stupid ones, you know. Instead, I mean, we'll have ones that actually matter, and we don't need 40 categories, so that way everybody gets a quote-unquote trophy. You only need like 5, you know. So
I would say 5. I mean, you got to have the main event or moment of the year, woman wrestler of the year, independent wrestler of the year. I think you need stuff like that. I mean, we'll go over this, but we'll actually, there's something we should actually go into depth with, and we'll put on our award show. We might be able to do it by the end of the year, actually.
Yeah, we could just do a full like year in review.
Yeah, we'll do that. And also, yeah, we'll go ahead and do that. And we have some special news we'll talk about at the end of the show. All right, so David, so that's what we'll do. So we, you know, realistically, WWE doesn't need one. They should just have wrestling, a wrestling awards.
Well, I just think that the problem is with them doing it, it really dumbs down the award, because the person, whoever wins it, may talk about it the following week or even the week after. But just like King of the Ring and just like Bragging Rights, it's going to get dropped the following week. That's the problem with it. So, but
that is true. That is true.
The one thing, though, that was very good about this show was David Arquette. I really, really enjoyed seeing him there. I don't know. What did you think?
He's doing stuff with like the little people right now. I don't agree with it. And as far as like show or whatever, I could care less realistically. But it was nice that they came out and he was said that he was the former WCW heavyweight champion, which made me laugh because the way he won it. And then, of course, he dropped at the following pay-per-view, which was hilarious. Now, I thought that was hilarious, and it was nice because he is a heel. He is a perfect heel, because he could say he was the WCW heavyweight champion. Kind of a heelish thing. I mean, Booker T, five time. I mean, I don't know. It's just it's a heel thing. You know what I mean? Perfect heel. I'm just rambling.
Well, I really liked what he did. Honestly, I think that I could see him being like the GM, you know?
Oh.
Like I could see doing that. Because it would be great. He took a powerbomb from Randy Orton through a table, and he took it very well. I mean, he didn't hold himself up there. I mean, if you noticed, Randy Orton, when he brought him up, Arquette did not properly. But other than that, I mean, he was fine. And I mean, how many other you know, actors are going to do that? So
actually, you know what? That would be perfect if his show fails, because it's going to. So it'd be actually perfect to have him come on and be the that would be a big deal. I mean,
I'm sorry to interrupt, but there was one other thing that I really liked that they were talking about during, you know, like when he was out there. They kept talking about Ready to Rumble.
Oh God!
And how he was the star of that, and how, you know, oh, it's such a good movie. I think, you know, I mean, you brought up the awards show. I think that what we should do, we should have a full on special about Ready to Rumble.
I was going to say that's the one of the announcements towards the end of the show, but we'll go ahead and announce it right now. We'll announce it at the end too. But we're going to do a Ready to Rumble special. We're going to bring a friend of ours, John Ochi, is going to come on. He's going to talk about it. We're going to go into pretty in-depth with it. I don't know how long it's going to be, but it's going to be a good episode. Definitely a great special. You guys will enjoy it. So anyway, so Punk claims he has a beef with someone on Raw, Daniel Bryan. Not that I know or anything, but it's pretty obvious it's going to be Daniel Bryan. So I'm gonna enjoy this for a while. But I wonder who it's going to, quote-unquote, be.
I hope that they do it well, though. That's the thing. Because if they don't, then it's just going to be a waste. Because both these are really big indie guys, you know? And I think that they'd put on a really great match together. I think that they'd put on great matches, I should say. And, you know, it should culminate, like, at WrestleMania. You know, you have them start feuding, like, during the Royal Rumble, and then you just have it go until then and have it be a battle for the U.S. title and have it be, like, a ladder match or something.
They could do that. Or Money in the Bank, have Daniel Bryan about to grab it, and Punk come in, you know, from the announcer's table and, you know, make it so he's not going to be able to cash it in. So, I think we're agreeing this is going to be Daniel Bryan because it's unfinished business. So then we have the crappiest feud going on right now for Sheamus versus Morrison.
So you're not a big fan of the feud then?
No. I mean, it's great for Morrison. I just can't stand Sheamus.
See, I actually am. I think that the buildup to the feud itself, I think this is one of those things that we criticize WWE all the time. But when they were going to wrestle this past Monday, and it just like all they were fighting, you know, quote unquote. They were just punching each other. They had to be separated, and then, you know, you have these officials holding them back, and they're trying to get to each other, and then they say, okay, fine, you know what? We're going to have a match at TLC, and it's a number one contender match on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually really like this. Like, I'm intrigued by it. This is actually one of those things that makes me excited for TLC. So I'm kind of surprised. I mean, I know, like, we don't agree on everything, but for me, this is one of those things I really enjoy.
Right. No, I do agree with you. I can agree with you on the, you know, anticipation of it. They've done a great job on it. Other than that, you know, I don't care for Morrison stuff. Just don't care for him. I'm sorry. My bad. I don't care for Sheamus. Why did I say Morrison? I love Morrison. Morrison is awesome. Parkour. So anyway, so Cena is rehired. So
okay.
Don't really care. Kind of saw that coming.
Anyways. So I was actually kind of surprised. I mean, that they're even doing this. I mean, because it was kind of stupid when you think about it. They basically, you know, he gets fired and rehired in the same breath. It's stupid, in my opinion. So I don't know. I was bored by this, and I'm really, really, really bored with Nexus and Cena. I mean, move on to something else, really.
Oh yeah, it's getting really, really boring. All right, moving on to SmackDown. They announced it finally, Kofi versus Swagger versus Dolph in a ladder match at TLC. This will be a good one. I'm pretty happy about it. What do you think?
I'm actually really happy about it. I think that this will be really, really good. Kofi and Swagger put on great matches, and Kofi and Dolph have also. So I think that this is it's a win-win. So I think that SmackDown actually may have better matches than Raw this time around.
Yeah, which is pretty pretty. That's pretty big. And then, of course, the other thing they announced also, which we got to talk about, Rey Mysterio made a mistake on a radio show Tuesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
He announced what's gonna come out on Friday in the morning, or what they announced on the SmackDown taping. He said that they've been added to the what do you call it, the
World Heavyweight Championship match.
Thank you. I don't understand initials. Well, they were added to that, so now it's going to be a true tables, ladders, and chairs match, which will be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, he talked about using a chair to knock your guy down, and then what was it? Chair to knock the guy down, a ladder to win it, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Something along
those lines. You know, the thing is, I think I said it last time, is that, or if I didn't say it on air, I definitely said it to you. You cannot have a two-man TLC match. It's just stupid. It's really stupid. Four-man, on the other hand, though, that will make it interesting.
See, a three-man, if it's the right people, could work. But, yeah, you have to have four people, if not more.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way that goes. So, are you excited about TLC?
I am. I'm actually surprisingly excited. I think that we have some really good matches. And they announced them, you know, beforehand. And, I mean, the Rey and Alberto one, it was going to be those two against each other. But they just added them to the World Heavyweight Championship. So it's not like it's a swerve, you know, or just like they announce it on a whim. They actually have done a pretty good job, in my opinion, of building this up.
Well, see, that's the thing. The buildup, I wish they would announce that earlier, that they're going to be in that match. Does that make sense?
That doesn't, for me anyway, it doesn't like make me like it less. It would have made me like it more, but it's not like, you know, I'm like, oh, no.
Well, the thing is, they went from eight matches down to seven because of that, which I was like, what? Seven matches? Are we back in WCW days when we're doing like nine matches? You know, like, that's what a pay-per-view is, basically. But,
well, and don't get me wrong. I mean, TLC, especially during the holiday season, it's a pay-per-view that should only be $30. I think that's something where they would get more people to want to watch it. So,
oh, yeah.
But that's, of course, a different topic. So,
yeah, I do agree with you on that, but... Anywho, but also, if anyone has not heard yet, SmackDown is going to be on Tuesday. Next Tuesday, SmackDown is going to be live, which mm-hmm. is very, very rare. So basically on the 21st, the guys get to work, and on the 22nd, they're going to be home with their families, which is going to be really nice.
Yeah, it's really great for them, and I'm happy that they're doing that. I really am.
And also, they're doing the Troop Special also is going to be aired on NBC. I think it's from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on this Saturday. Actually, it'll be, on Saturday.
Huh.
So it'll be really, really nice. Anyway, so NXT, anything? Are we even, should we even continue to cover NXT? I mean, I think we should probably start covering, what is it, Superstars or AM Raw.
It's NXT. I mean, there's not much to say about it. It's online only, and I just, it's so hard anymore.
I heard that it's going to be on QVC, believe it or not. They're going to put a little hour special on QVC. It's going to be nothing but NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? You know what? They know what QVC doesn't advertise, though? GoDaddy. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99. Plus, world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, when you have the code POD149 when you check out, you'll save an additional 10% off your web hosting order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Summer 65, C-Site for details. TNA. Jay Lethal wants his X Division title back.
And he gets it. He wins it back, finally, which is nice. So, you know, it was nice to finally see him get that back because, let's face it, Robbie E., he's pretty lame. All right, he's pretty lame. So, now I wanted to ask you what you thought. So, Jeff Jarrett has been doing this MMA Invitational for the past, like, I don't know, 2 months now. Is it getting old?
Who cares? In real life, put Jeff Jarrett and Brock Lesnar in an MMA ring. I know who's winning it. I'm just going to say this now. I already know who won. Magic Paul? Jeff Jarrett barely crawls out. Oh, wait. Stretcher. My bad. Stretcher.
So, you know, the other thing, too, that I must say about TNA this week is that it wasn't new. And that was the problem with it, that it was just a continuation of everything. So there was a continuation of Hardy and Anderson and Morgan. And it was kind of a little old, in my opinion. And it was almost like kind of like how SmackDown has been. And, I mean, SmackDown this week wasn't even that good. I mean, other than the big announcement, big announcements, I should say, you know, it was kind of boring, just like TNA. So it's unfortunate.
Very, very unfortunate. Yeah, I don't like the fact that's the problem with taping, I think, shows ahead of time, especially like wrestling shows. Especially if you tape like three in a row. If you don't have everything set up properly, that's the issue. I think management is just not doing a good job of setting things up right now. And that's, you know, that's their fault. Yes, it is. But so I think that's the major problem is just the continuations of all these. It gets really old really fast.
So I was thinking that for our weekly topic this week, I thought we'd go a little bit off kilter because, I mean, normally we talk about something that's going on in the news or, you know, like last week we talked about Jeff Hardy and his situation. I was thinking we haven't done a top five or a top 10 in a while. And so I prepared beforehand my top five submission holds. And if I'm correct, you have one yourself, don't you, Andy?
As a matter of fact, I do.
So do you want to go first or do you want me to?
No, I'll follow you this time.
So my top five submission holds. Number five is the surfboard stretch. And I'm not talking about that week one where they're just sitting down on the ground. I'm talking about like they are literally up in the air, the real surfboard stretch that you probably remember from the AKI games for the Nintendo 64 where you are holding them up in the air like a surfboard. That is my number five.
Okay.
Number four, the sharpshooter. Classic, one of the best moves by far. Number three, the Texas Cloverleaf. One of my favorite moves. It's, you know, real simple, but Dean Malenko, whenever he did it, it always looked great. Number two, the LaBelle Lock. The LaBelle Lock is so much better than the Crippler Crossface. I'm sorry, but it is. You know, it looks so much more painful, and Daniel Bryan, he does it very well. So LaBelle Lock is my number two. Now, Andy, I know you know what my number one is.
What is it?
The Lion Tamer. Not the Walls of Jericho. Mm-hmm. The Lion Tamer. When Jericho used to do it and he'd put his knee down on your head and it just looked so incredibly painful.
Shoulder.
And he doesn't do it anymore.
Shoulder.
But, man, it looks so good.
Shoulder. It wasn't his head. He put it on the shoulder.
Well, either way. Like, it just, nonetheless, it looked awesome. So.
You know what the sad thing is? I know we're missing a bunch of these.
There are some that I would have added, but I only wanted to do a top five.
See, but I'm trying to think. There is one that I just know I'm going to be ticked after we do the show. I'm like, oh, what is it? And I just remember what it was. So anyway, so I guess I have to come up with my top five. I have them all written down, but I don't have them in a certain order. So let's just go ahead and my number five, because, well, the guy who did it was a douchebag. But the thing is, I like how he did it. It's hard to explain, but I just dug how he did it. And that's the Tequila Sunrise. I don't know why, but I just kind of like the motion that he did when he did it, if you know what I mean, like the way that he kind of would grab, grab the arm, flip the guy over, and then just grab, it was a wimp move. There's no way to explain it. It was just a wimp move. But it's kind of neat how he did it, and of course, Conan back then was kind of a big guy. Big as in not like big, but like over. So number four. This is going to be a tough one. I'm going to have to go with the Cloverleaf. One of my favorite moves. Of course, you said it best. Dean Malenko did it. Just something about him doing it. Just, I don't know. It was just great. Just how he just hook it. And he'd always kind of flip the guy a different way. Sometimes he'd bring him over like the sharpshooter. Or sometimes he'd lift the guy up and then walk forward, which was always kind of cool. And Dean Malenko, always a good guy. He's doing better now, by the way. We forgot to mention that he had a heart attack a couple weeks ago. But he is doing great now. Doing great. Number three, I actually put down the Walls of Jericho version one, because after that, Lion Tamer, basically, realistically, once they changed that, I was so upset. I'm still kind of upset that they won't let him do it how he really does it, knee on the back of the arm. Number two, the Rings of Saturn. Don't know why, I just love that move. It's such a stupid move. But when he did it, it was just kind of weird, and I always kind of dug it. And, of course, number one, I put it as a tie because technically I think it's the same move. I have the Cripple Crossface / Lobel Lock. I think it's basically the same move, except the Lobel Lock, he locks you in a lot harder, like in real life. Like if he had it on there, you are screwed. So, but that's my top five. I know we're forgetting a bunch of them. Sharpshooter, I dig. Don't get me wrong. I love the Sharpshooter. It's just that it's kind of Bret Hart's thing, and I don't know.
And I'm sure that some people out there are saying, what about the torture rack? That's iconic, for Lex Luger. Or the figure four. I mean, come on, the figure four, four. I mean, people are probably like, you guys are idiots,
the figure about four. And then, of course, John Cena's, what does it call it now?
STF.
The STF. What was CM Punk's?
Oh, I forgot what he calls it. But, you figure there's the TAS mission, which is another big one, which it's like, oof, the one that Samoa Joe does, which is basically the TAS mission. Mm-hmm. You have the Million Dollar Dream. I mean, you have a ton of submissions. Oh, but for me, those were my top five. I mean, I may have swapped out the sharpshooter, maybe for the figure four, but even that's hard to do.
Who did the where they take their hand and put it on their head?
Crush. Oh, no, he did it from behind. He grabbed you from behind.
Oh, that's right.
Made you submit.
Well, he made you submit, but then he'd slam you down. Who did the hand, though, where they put on your head and they just,
I don't know who did that one. But, then we have Mick Foley, the mandible claw.
That's true. Yeah.
Sacco. So,
man, there's so many good moves. So, just a couple quick announcements. First things, we are going to have an award show next week, so it'll be the best of. We'll still do our regular show, but we'll have a little special award ceremony for our weekly topic, and then the following week we're going to put on a special Ready to Rumble. We'll have myself, Aaron, and of course, and then we'll have John Oche. He'll come on, and John Oche's a big fan of the show, and he also is a big fan of Ready to Rumble. So we're going to discuss that. And that'll be over the next few weeks. So, looks like that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you are into the Twitter, you can follow the show at OffTheMark86. I am AHughes86. He is AP Hughes. I want to say thanks to Section 86 and 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank my co-hosts for coming on each and every week. And, of course, I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download the show. And until next time, friends, we're tagging out.